This evening we want to consider the story of a great, great king and a poor, lame man. That great king is David, the king of Israel. And 16 years earlier, before he ever became king, David made a covenant with Jonathan, King Saul's son, and David's cherished friend. Now the time had come for David to fulfill his covenant promise to Jonathan. Read in 1 Samuel in the chapter 20 and the verse 14. And thou shalt not only while I yet live show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord have cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Here we have this wonderful covenant between these two friends, best friends. And now David is determined to fulfill his covenant promise to Jonathan. So he sought out the last survivor of his dear friend and his companion. Read in the opening verse of chapter 9, and David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? David sent for Mephibosheth and brought him to the palace. When Mephibosheth first learned that the king had found him, he must have been terrified. He knew what had become of Saul's sons. David had killed them all by the command of God. And fearful and trembling, he came into David's presence, expecting to be slain. But what a blessed surprise this poor cripple found. David showed him nothing but kindness and mercy, and he was made to be one of the king's son. What a marvelous picture and illustration we find here of the gospel of Christ. Behind the noble kindness of David toward Mephibosheth, the marvel of grace of God towards sinners is seen all over this portion of God's word. It shines forth brilliantly from the pages of Scripture. When the poor, crippled son of Jonathan was brought from Lodabar to Jerusalem and made to sit at the king's table, I'm sure that words could not begin to express his gratitude for what David did for him. And when a slave of sin, a slave of the devil, is made an heir of God and joint heir with Christ, well, we're lost in wonder and love and praise for the mercy and grace of God in our lives. And eternity itself can not render to the Lord the praise that is due him for his mercy and grace to sinful mankind. David's kindness here to Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake is a beautiful picture of God's loving kindness and tender mercies to sinners for Christ's sake. As we go through this chapter, I want to consider four things about this story and about this man and how they speak of the grace of God shown to us in Christ, our glorious Saviour. The message tonight is simply entitled, Given a Place at the King's Table. Given a Place at the King's Table, because our story here tonight, our message shows how Mephibosheth becomes a table guest of the great King David. And to dine with the king meant he had the same rights, the same privileges as the king's own son. David brought him into the palace as a son forever, a place of safety, a place of refuge, and love that was undeserved. What a wonderful picture of the gospel. Notice firstly here from our passage the condition he experienced, the condition that he experienced. Mephibosheth was in a very miserable condition indeed when the king sought him out. He was Jonathan's son. He was the last surviving member of the royal house of Saul. And when the news of Saul's death and the death of his sons in the battlefield of Gilboa reached the royal palace, Mephibosheth was only 5 years old, and his nurse took him up in her arms and fled to Lodabar. But in her panic, he fell out of her arms and he was crippled. And from that day forward, he was lame on his feet. He was altogether unworthy of David's attention, regard, or favour. But David freely showed him kindness and love and mercy. And what a picture we have there even in the gospel. How we are unworthy. We are unworthy to receive anything from God. Nevertheless, despite our wretchedness, He is gracious to us. The name Mephibosheth means shameful, and he was a shameful man in the sense he was poor, he was destitute, he was helpless. And so too we as sons of Adam, we could be called Mephibosheth, because we too are a shameful thing. We are as an unclean thing, Isaiah tells us. Isaiah 1 and 6, from the sole of the foot even unto the crown of the head, there's no soundness in us but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. We are a vile and shameful thing. Man at his very best is vile. He's depraved. Like the leper, we have that incurable disease. Like the harlot, we are defiled. Your name and my name is Mephibosheth, a shameful thing in heart and will and in deed. Notice also, he was the king's enemy. He was the son of Saul. He was a natural enemy to David. He was hiding out from David because David had slain his brothers, the house of Saul, and he was hiding from him. But David was not his enemy. By nature, we all are sons of Adam, and we are enemies of God. Just like Mephibosheth was the king's enemies. We are enemies of God tonight in our sin. If you're a sinner tonight, you are an enemy of God. Romans 8 and 7 tells us the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it. And everyone that is living in an ungenerate state tonight of sin, those who have not repented, those who have not trusted in Christ as Saviour, you are enemies of God. And that may not be a nice thing to hear, and you might not want to hear it, and you might not even agree with it, but that's irrelevant tonight. Because God says so. So therefore it is true. The unsaved are enemies of God. All of us who are saved tonight, before God found us, we were like this man. We were hiding. We were hiding from God, just like Adam and Eve when they sinned in the Garden of Eden. They hid their faces from God. And so too sinful man is hiding from God. Sinful man has no desire to look for God. Mephibosheth had no desire to look for King David. He was hiding from him. But the good news of the gospel tonight, and even in our story, is that God is not the enemy of his people. He desires to save sinners. That is why he sent the Lord Jesus into this world to seek and to save those that are lost. We think of those wonderful words in Romans chapter 5, in the verse 5, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength," you see the picture of Mephibosheth there, without strength, he is crippled. "So too we were without strength in our sins. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath to come. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of a son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Think of 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. "For he hath made him," as God the Father has made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." What a wonderful picture we have here of the gospel in this message. And God tonight is ever beseeching lost, lame, languishing sinners to be reconciled to him. And tonight, as an ambassador for Christ, I too am urging you to be reconciled to God, to come. Even though you're crippled, even though you're lame, come, repent, and trust in Christ as your Savior. I want you to notice how Mephibosheth ended up the way he was here. Verse 3 tells us, "The king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet." How did he end up lame? Well, we mention at the start, if you turn over to chapter 4, we find the answer. Chapter 4 and the verse 4. Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as he made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. Here we see this man who's lame on his feet. And again we see a wonderful picture of the sinner. God created man upright, but man, due to the fall, became helpless, became lame, became crippled through the fall of Adam. We think of Romans 5 and 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so too, because of the fall, we are lame. We're crippled. We're like this man. We are unworthy of God's grace and mercy. Notice also that he was in a far country, verse 4. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodebar. Here it is, he was in a far country. He was far away from the king. He was far away from Jerusalem. And what significance had that? Well, Jerusalem was the place of blessing. It was the place of peace. It was a place of worship. He was far away from the presence of God. He was in the house of Machir, which means sold. He was down in Lodebar, the place of no pasture or no bread. And again, you see the wonderful picture here of the sinner, our nature. Those who are yet without faith in Christ are far away from God, far away from Christ. They're sold under sin. You're in a desert place where there is no bread, and Lodebar could be written across the fields of this world. And tonight, I wonder, my friend, when will you realize that you're lost? You're like that prodigal who's wandering about looking to be fed, and he's feeding off the swine's food. There's nothing in this world. There's no bread in this world. There's nothing to satisfy your needy soul in this world tonight. It's only found in Christ. And like Mephibosheth, you are without Christ. You're in a miserable condition. You're destitute. You're doomed. You're deserving of death. And certain death awaits you if you remain in your condition. Oh, may the Lord show you a wretched and hopeless condition tonight. That's the condition that this man experienced. But notice, secondly, the call he received. The call he received. Read in verse 4 and 5 that he was called by the king. And the king said unto them, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodebar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodebar. David sought Mephibosheth, fetched him to the palace. And what a wonderful word that is, fetched. He fetched him. He fetched him. And again, don't we see a wonderful picture of God's amazing grace? He fetched him. God seeks his sheep. And when he finds his sheep, he fetches it home. The word can be translated here to carry. Can you see that wonderful picture? Here's this man who's been lame from 5 years old, crippled, and he's fetched, carried, as it were, to the palace, into the very presence of the king. And notice here something about his call. Notice David sought him. David sought him. Mephibosheth did not seek David. This was a call, a sovereign choice by the king. It was a personal call. You go to him directly. Go and fetch him. Then the king David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir. There's no hearsay, no confused message here. It wasn't a case of go and ask him, does he want to go? Or go and tell him, is a place here, make up his own mind. No. Went and fetched him. He brought him. He was brought in. And so too the gospel call is clear tonight. There's no hearsay about it. There's no confusion. Simply repent. Repent and believe the gospel. It's a clear call tonight. This is an irresistible fetch. See here salvation begins with God. He takes the initiative. Man goes astray. Man hides from God. But God seeks and finds those that were lost. God sends his Spirit to seek and find his people and draw them onto himself and save them by his matchless grace. He always finds them. He always brings them home. He says, follow me, and they follow. He says, come unto me, and they come. We think of Abraham in Ur. We think of Moses in Midian. We think of Zacchaeus up the tree. We think of James and John in their fishing boats. Come, follow me. And they came. Notice here Mephibosheth came before the king in reverent submission. In verse 6, he fell on his face and did reverence. When he came before the king here, he reverenced himself with fear and trembling. He realized who he stood before. He realized he stood before one who had power over life and death for him. He did not know what David would do with him. He could kill him. He could let him live. So what did he do? He threw himself at the king's feet. He was at the mercy of the king. But what did David do? What did David do to this poor man? He said, "Fear not. Fear not." He called him by his name and spoke peaceably unto him. "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness." Let me ask you tonight, my friend, have you thrown yourself at the feet of Christ for mercy? Have you cried out to him, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner"? Well, if you do, he will show you mercy. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Shall be saved. An ironclad promise from God who cannot lie. That's the way to obtain mercy. If you are to be saved from your destitute and doomed destination, it's only to be found at Christ and at his feet. Praise God, he answers, he speaks peace to our souls. Notice something else here. Mephibosheth was received in all his deformity, just as he was, without any improvement. David received this poor cripple. He wasn't asked to go to physiotherapy, learn how to walk again. It wasn't a case of, when you can walk, you're going to be given a place at the king's table. You make the effort to come here yourself, get up on your feet and walk, and work towards it, and you'll be afforded a place at the king's table. No, it wasn't like that. He was given a place in all his deformity, in his lameness, as a cripple. There was no trying to improve his situation. There was no point. He was maimed. He had to come as he was. And so too, dear sinner, tonight you just come as you are. Just as I am, without one plea. "But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come." Come as you are. Notice also, Mephibosheth was received for the sake of another. Verse 7. "And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." He is received altogether for Jonathan's sake, because David loved Jonathan. And God receives us altogether tonight for Christ's sake, because he loves his Son. Titus 3:3, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." On the basis of Christ's finished work tonight, you can be received, dear sinner. You can be received. He lived a life of righteous obedience as our representative. And because of his voluntary death as our substitute upon the cross, God can and does receive believing sinners. Just as Mephibosheth was received for Jonathan's sake, so too you can be received because of what Christ has done for Christ's sake. God receives us because of our relationship to Christ. Notice also, when Mephibosheth came to David, he learned to have a proper estimate of himself. Verse 8, "And he bowed himself, What is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" And dear sinner, this is where you need to be tonight if you are to be saved. You are to see yourself as nothing but a dead dog, as unworthy as a dead dog. You see yourself as nothing of deserving of God's mercy, but rather deserving God's wrath, deserving God's judgment. You must realize the wickedness, the depravity of your heart. And you don't deserve God's amazing grace. But yet, we see here the mercy and grace of God. We see here that God is loving in the sense of he has sent his son to seek and to save people like Mephibosheth. Do you see yourself as a cripple tonight? Do you see yourself lame on your feet in the sense of your own spiritual poverty and unworthiness? Do you see yourself as a sinner and nothing more than a dead dog? That's where you must start tonight. If you don't realize you're a sinner, if you don't see yourself in all your sin and in all your unworthiness, you can never be saved. You'll never want to turn from sin. You'll never want to repent of sin if you don't see your sinfulness. If you don't see the depravity and the wickedness of your heart. Notice something else here. Notice thirdly, the compassion he discovered. The compassion he discovered. Mephibosheth was reconciled to the king by an act of the king's own mercy. In verses 9 and 10, then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. Thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth shall thy master's son shall eat bread always at my table. Here we see Mephibosheth was restored and made again as one of the king's sons. Once again, he was made to be a prince in Israel. And he got more in David than he lost in Saul. And again, what a wonderful picture of the sinner who comes to Christ. Those who are saved. We have gotten more in Christ than we lost in Adam. We have been given eternal life. We have been given peace. Romans 5 and 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has given to us an incorruptible inheritance. Christ has provided for us all that we need. And in Christ we're given the highest possible honor and dignity. 1 John 1 or 3 and 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. What a wonderful honor. What a wonderful privilege. And here Mephibosheth was restored again, given a place in the palace, place at the king's table, brought into his house, made one of his sons, given the wonderful inheritance that belonged to the king. What a wonderful transformation. From a cripple, one who feared for his life, one who was fearful of the king, fearful of the king's wrath and judgment, and now he's brought home to live with the king. What a wonderful picture of the grace of God in the gospel. And notice under the king's table, Mephibosheth's cripple's feet were covered. He was still lame in both his feet, but his deformity was covered under David's table. Do we not see that wonderful picture of how our sins are covered by Christ's perfect robe of righteousness? All our sins are covered, never to be remembered no more, never to be seen anymore. We're justified in Christ. Isaiah 61 and 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. What a wonderful picture of salvation. How we're cleansed in that precious blood of Christ. How our sins are covered. That perfect robe covers all our deformities. Once more, Mephibosheth was granted perpetual fellowship and communion with the king. The king's house was his house. He dwelt with David. He was always accepted in David's presence. And so it is when a sinner is brought home and reconciled to God. Adoption takes place. It would be wonderful enough to be forgiven and let go, but we're brought into the family of God, joined heirs with Christ of all that pertains of glory, brought into that fellowship again, given a place at the king's table. We walk in his company. We're allowed to speak freely to him. We live upon his riches. We rest under his protection. This was all given to Mephibosheth. It's given to us who are the children of God. Because of the grace he received, Mephibosheth loved the king above everything else. Turn over to chapter 19 for a moment. Chapter 19, the verse 24. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes, from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he has come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, Wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, and that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? The king said unto him, Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, Thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, Yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own house. Here we see in this portion, he waited patiently for the king's return. The king had gone, and he was waiting for his return. He wanted nothing else but the king, because of his great love for the king. Ziba, he despised him because of his love for the king. But children of God, tonight, we who are saved, we who are blood bought, we who are redeemed, ought to imitate this man, Mephibosheth. Ought we not to love King Jesus supremely? Give up everything for him and to him? Wait patiently for his return? Desire nothing but Christ himself? That's what Mephibosheth desired. He loved the king. He loved the king for all he had done for him. He discovered his wonderful compassion for this dear cripple. And we who are saved tonight have availed of his wonderful compassion, of his marvelous grace. And you too can also. Maybe tonight you are that cripple. You're still in your sins. Well, you can come tonight. You can come and you can have a place at the king's table. You can be brought into the family of God. You can share in his riches. You can be forgiven. You can be made a child of God. Notice one last thing. The covenant that was fulfilled. The covenant that was fulfilled. All of this was done for Mephibosheth because of a covenant made long before he was born. When the king returned and finally destroyed all of Saul's sons, 7 of them, Mephibosheth was spared because of David's love for Jonathan. David loved Mephibosheth because of his relation to Jonathan, because of his covenant he made with Jonathan. In 2 Samuel 21 and 7, we read, But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ tonight, all that we have in Christ tonight is all that we have, is all because of divine grace, and has been given to us because of a covenant, a wonderful covenant between Father and Son in eternity past. Because of that covenant, O child of God, our hearts should be filled tonight with love and adoration and praise and worship and thanksgiving for the kindness of our God. That he, in eternity past, set his love upon us, made that covenant with his Son, that he would come to this world, take on human flesh, live that perfect life, die that atoning death, and save a people for himself. And as David fulfilled his covenant with Jonathan in Mephibosheth, so the Lord Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, will fulfill all his covenant in us who are his. You see, my friends, the cross is not an afterthought. And we hear that today in modern theology, that the fall of man caught God by surprise and he had to scratch his head, as it were, and put a plan B into operation to save people, to bring them to heaven. That was never the case. The fall of man did not catch God by surprise, but rather It was the divine will of God from all eternity to send his only begotten Son to this world to save, redeem a people for himself. That covenant made in eternity past will not be broken. The Lord is building his church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's adding to his church daily such as should be saved. And all across this world tonight, we think of Afghanistan. We think of Pakistan and India, North Korea, Iran, and all these countries where we see the growth of the church. Thousands upon thousands are being grafted into the church because Christ died for them, because of this great covenant that was made in eternity. Now, Mephibosheth did not know anything about this covenant, but David did. And so too tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ has come and to seek and to save those who are lost. Those sinners who know nothing about him, know nothing about covenants, know nothing about the gospel, know nothing of the love of God. But he's come to seek them. He's come to save them because of the Father's great love for his people, those his Son died for. And that love was demonstrated perfectly on the cross of Calvary, where the Lord Jesus Christ paid the sin penalty for Mephibosheths all over this world. So let me ask you in closing, is there tonight in this church building any Mephibosheth? Is there any poor, shameless, helpless sinner who needs mercy? Come. Come now and throw yourself down at the feet of King Jesus and cry for mercy. And if you do, the wonderful good news of the gospel is that he will receive you and he will invite you to dine with him forever. Oh, one commentator sums up this story like this. He says, as Mephibosheth had fallen, was deformed as a result of his fall, was hiding in a place of barrenness, and was fearful of the king, so is the sinner. David took the initiative to seek out Mephibosheth in spite of his unloveliness, bring him into his house and presence, adopt him as his own son. He also shared his bounty and fellowship with this undeserving one for the rest of his life because of Jonathan, as God has done for us for the sake of Christ. And that, my friends, tonight is the gospel. That is the gospel in a nutshell. Repent tonight and believe it as you are commanded to do. And you too will be brought into fellowship with the King. You too will be given a place at the table. You too will dine with him forever. You too will spend eternity in his presence, worshipping his great name. Will you come tonight? May God help you to do so for his name's sake. Amen.